everybody, it's so good to be here. Yes, my name is Millie. I actually almost wasn't here because even though Amy told me like four times that it was Stallingstown first, I went to Marilyn. But that wasn't as bad as one time I went to the wrong denomination church when I was speaking in the morning and I walked in and said to the minister, I think I'm lost. And he was like, we all are. I was like, yeah, but no, really, I am. But yes, it's so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me. You have a beautiful harvest display. I have to say, I think you're probably winning the prize so far in all the harvest displays I've ever seen. Now, I want to start off with a game. I appreciate there's a lot of sweets going on today, so hopefully no one's too annoyed about there being so many sweets. Hopefully we're all okay with that. But so I live in Newry, but I work in Belfast. So I play a lot of driving games, not by myself, obviously, when there's other people in the car too. But the one that's my favorite is the alphabet game. Has anybody played the alphabet game before? A couple of people. Simon loves it. That's good. So the alphabet game is where you think of a letter. So for example, my name is Millie, so the letter M. And you try and think of a food that begins with M. So for example, I am Millie, and my food is a melon. I've got some sweets at the front here if anyone wants to suggest one. And it doesn't have to be under 18 either. You know, older people can try too if they want.
Mango.
Mango. Mango. So you can do it with your own name. You don't need to do it with mine. Say again, see ya. Great, meatballs. Well done. Come on up, I'll get a sweet. Super job. Mons Chew, brilliant. They can all be M, that's fine. Mons Chew. Fabulous. Any other M's or other letters? A Kit Kat, brilliant. Yep. We're going off piece now, I love it. Absolutely brilliant, well done. Good job. Good choice. I would have picked that one too. One last one. What's your one? Grace and a grape. Well done, Grace. I think Grace got the game. Well done. Super job. Well, there will be more at the end, so if you think of one during the service, feel free to remember it for next time. Do you want to go? Molly and Mint. Brilliant. Molly did a reading, so she, you know, feels like she deserves the sweet. Thank you so much for playing that game. Now, the thing with Harvest is that it's a celebration of all of the wonderful gifts that we've got. And I got married just over a year ago, and one of the gifts that we were given was a blueberry tree. And I was like, this is so wonderful, because blueberries are actually my favorite fruit. And I am way over the top in everything that I do. So I was given this blueberry tree, and I said to my husband, I was like, right, this is my personality now. I am going to have a blueberry farm. I'm going to make blueberry jam. I'm going to make blueberry crumble. I'm running out of things to do with blueberries. But anything that you can think of, that's what I'm going to do when I grow these blueberries. And my husband knows me quite well. So he was like, okay, we'll see if you can grow some blueberries first, and then we'll start planning this. So a year later, this is my blueberry tree. Can anybody see any blueberries on my blueberry tree? No, there's not a lot, not yet. There are some nice weeds growing in the bottom, but no, it doesn't. I actually don't think it's alive anymore. But yes, this is my blueberry tree. It didn't grow very well. And the embarrassing thing, if you're given a plant, is that when that person comes over to your house, you have to try and pretend that you haven't killed it. So this person is quite a good friend of mine, and they've been over to my house probably four or five times. Most of the time, I'm able to say, oh, yes, the plant's doing really, really, really well. Yes, the blueberries you're eating are actually from the plant. But most recently, only a few weeks ago, they came over and they asked to see the plant, to see how well it was doing. And I had to be like, ta-da! And they were like, Millie, what did you do? And I was like, I just don't know. I don't know what happened. It just didn't grow. And she said, well, where did you put it? And I showed her where the plant was kept in my garden, in a really nice shaded spot that I thought would be great for plants. And she was like, so for a year, you've kept this plant in the garden where it gets no sun, clearly no rain, and you just left it in the pot. And then you wondered why it died. So the moral of the story is that if you want a plant to grow, you need it to have water, you need it to have food, and you need it to be planted too. Now, what does this have to do with our reading today from Matthew? Well, the story we heard is like midway through the chapter. Just before this all happened, Jesus is having an incredible experience at the top of a mountain. And his friends are with him, and they get to see this too, where basically his mission is confirmed, that he has this wonderful encounter with God, and the disciples are there to witness it. And then he comes down the mountain, and it says there's this huge crowd of people there waiting for him. And it's like, yep, real life still continues. And he comes down, and one of the people is this father who says, "My son is sick. Will you heal him?" Now, I want you to suspend your disbelief for the moment if you were a person who's sitting there and you're not sure what your theology is on demons. If you do have a question and you want to talk to somebody about it, Simon actually told me right before the service that he loves big questions and he loves it when people ask him really complicated things. So feel free to ask him about that. I just want for the moment for you just to believe with me when I say that this boy was possessed by a demon. And believe me with me when I say that Jesus cast this demon out of him. And afterwards, the disciples are talking amongst themselves and they go to Jesus in private and they say, "Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" And Jesus replies with this bit here that's one of probably the most well-known bits in the Bible of Jesus' sayings. He says, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And this is one of five times in the Bible that a mustard seed is mentioned. And a mustard seed being something that's really, really, really tiny. And Jesus uses it to say, it's not about how big something is. It's about what you do with it. That is the point of his story here. It's not about how much you've got. It's about what you do with it. And why is this important for harvest? Because how funny would it have been if during today, when Amy said, "I'd like everybody to bring up their things and leave them at the front," if people sat there and said, "Well, yes, this is what I've got, but I'm actually just going to keep it with me today." Or I know in Marilyn there's a soup lunch. How weird would it be if we got there and Simon was like, "Actually, yes, we do have soup, but you know, it's been a bit of a difficult year for us, so we're actually just going to keep our soup for ourselves. You guys can bring your own soup, but we're just going to have ours." No, harvest is a time where we thank God for the stuff that we've been given. And we use that to bless other people in our community. We use it to build the kingdom. We use what we've got to do things for God. It would be so weird if at harvest all we did was say, "Thank you, God, for everything we've got, and more, please, so that we can be better, so that we can have more." That's why you give money to all of these great causes that we saw at the beginning. It's about using what we've got, however small it is, to help other people and to build God's kingdom. And what does that have to do with my blueberry plant? I had these big plans of what I was going to do when this plant grew. I don't think it's going to grow. I think I've probably reached the point now where there's no return. But there's no point in me having these big plans if I'm not looking after what I've got. I could have 10 blueberry trees. I could have 100 blueberry trees. But if I don't look after them, what's the point in having them? So if I want my blueberry tree to grow, there were three things I said at the beginning that I needed to do. Can anybody remember what those three things were? Go ahead. Give them water. Yes, that's brilliant. One of them was I need to give it water. Sunshine, yes, fabulous. We've got water, sunshine, and planted. Yes, fabulous. It needs to have water, it needs to have food from sunlight, and it needs to be planted. And basically, we as people are just a bit more complicated plants because we also, if we want to grow our faith, we need to be feeding our soul from God's word. We need to be drinking the living water, and we need to be planted in a good church. Feeding your souls, we'll start with that one. That means reading your Bible every day. And I help out at a Sunday school in Newry, and this is always the one that the kids are like, "Oh, on Monday I read my Bible, and then on Tuesday I forgot, and then on Wednesday I forgot, and then on Thursday I thought I'll just wait till Sunday and then I'll start again." And I always say to them, "Well, do you forget to eat food? Do you ever go a full day where you think, yeah, I just didn't eat anything? You want to make it so part of your day that you can't go a single day without reading your Bible. It needs to be so part of who you are that you couldn't miss it once without thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't read my Bible today. And the second one, you need to be watered. I really like that song that we did where it talks about drinking the living water. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is it something that you look after? Do you protect it? Do you pray every day? Do you talk to him as your friend? And if this isn't something that you're currently doing, if you're under 18, chat to one of your youth workers or your kids workers here. If you're over 18, you can probably talk to them too, but I'm sure Simon would love a chat, so chat to him as well. And the final one is, are you planted in a church? Now, this is always a funny one when I talk to people who are literally sitting in church right now. But it's not just about turning up on a Sunday and then leaving again. Are you involved? Are you giving? Do you have friends in the congregation? Do you serve? Are you actively a part of this church? And that goes for everybody, even the young ones. What are you doing to show that this is your church? This is where you've been planted, and this is where you're going to serve. I'm going to finish today by asking you all to close your eyes. And I want you to have a think. Now, this is a bit of an abstract one, but I want you to have a think about what you would look like, what your faith plant would look like. If your relationship with God was a tree, is it a tree that's got loads of beautiful fruit? Is it a tree that's growing really, really well? Are you the kind of person that has such a great relationship with Jesus that you just know your tree is green and beautiful? Or is your relationship with Jesus looking a little bit like my blueberry plant? Did you put it in a corner and only get it out for special occasions? Or is it something that you look after every day? I'm going to pray for us to finish, and I'm going to pray that you are able to find a way to feed yourself on God's word every day. Pray that you are drinking from living water. Pray that you are planted in a good church. Creator God, thank you for the gifts that you have given us, and forgive us for the times that we don't use them for you. Help us to appreciate the wonder that is this world. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share, and our hearts to you. May our feet tread lightly on the path we tread, and our footsteps be worthy of following, for they lead to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.